Today's May 5th, we're taping a review of the Haggadah. And the first question is, what is the main question the Malbim attempts to answer in this breakdown of Magid into six sections? The breakdown of Magid is based on the Pasuk, Vigadatel Vincha, the early part of Magid, Vayomahu, Vayomahu Yochim Yom, Yom, Laymor is a section where we're darshing at the Sifrei, which is exhibit, and Ba'avur Zeh is Rabbi Gamliel's 3.8 Pesach Matzah Morah. Asar Shemli, Lavicha, and one of those sections of the Chayav Adam Neuros Asasma, it says, Yom Mitzrayim is the beginning of Magid. Right? So he says that Magid is broken up into six parts based on that Pasuk, but the main focus of his question is, why are we so anxious to fulfill both Rav and Shmuel's opinion, or Rav and Abaye for that matter? First things we did was to see the various Rishonim of whether Rav and Shmuel disagree. Why is the Haggadah interested in paskening like both of them? Most Rishonim say Rav and Shmuel are not disagreeing. It's just that Matchil B'Gnai and Simon B'Shvach speaks to two different types of audiences, children and adults. And Shmuel, he talks to the children. That's Abu Dimayim B'Farim Mitzrayim, which is an answer to the Chacham's question in the Torah. Mitzchila of the Abu Zarah, he was saying, it was a much more sophisticated Indian going through our history, which is found at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. Okay. And that's already where, you know, where the adults are talking.
What is the last one? Mitzchila of the Abu Zarah?
Mitzchila of the Abu Zarah? No. Mitzchila of the Abu Zarah, that's a little later in that. So, the point of this is that they're not disagreeing. They're really agreeing. It's just that the question, the obligation the Mishnah says about Chidah B'Gnayim is Simon Mishvah, takes on different forms, and it's manifest in these different sections of Haggadah. Right? Show how he answers three other questions, just go look at your Chumash for that. We'll go online. So you see, he has like eight questions.
In the Malbim itself?
Yes, in the English Malbim. I went over a few of them. Okay. Two. What are the Korei Haggadah according to the E.T. entry? That's the Encyclopedia Talmudic. The oldest extant version of the Haggadah. In fact, you can just look up. It's the Sadigon. Sadigon's Siddur has a Haggadah in it. It's the oldest extant. The oldest extant Haggadah that we have in our hands. Okay, just look up a few lines in the Encyclopedia Talmudic, which makes reference to this. Okay.
Do you have that in the Chuvera?
It is in the Chuvera, just a few pages. And you'll find right away it says the current one. Okay, Exhibit A. Trace three different sources for four cups at the Seder, and for each, its historical significance. What does Torah Tzmima say about Dal Lashon Shel Geulah? So that's in Exhibit A. It says four cups, Halacha Agada in history. So the most famous one, of course, is the Dal Lashon Shel Geulah, which the Torah Tzmima at the bottom of the first page, source number 7, we read through this in the beginning, says that I prefer not Dalid Lashonot Shel Geula, but the original Yerushalmi that says Dalid Geulos. Rashi uses he says Lashonot Shel Geula. Everyone calls it Lashonot Keneged Arba, Lashonot Geula. Rashi Pesachim, the Pnei Moshe Keneged Arba Geulos, however. He says Arba Lashonot Shel Geula. No, the Torah Tzmima says everyone's making a mistake with this. Do they mean cognizance make the mistake? If you look at the original Yerushalmi, it says Keneged Arba Geulos. Right? What's the difference between the two? Arba Lashon Shel Geulah might mean that they're just synonyms.
Right.
No, these are four different events. And if you add the Hevesi, like a fifth cup, which we call the Koshel Eliyahu, if you add a fifth word, then this works very well. If you recall, in the beginning of the semester, I told you a Ramban that points to the five stages of subjugation. Right? Can you call five? In Nazi Germany in the 30s, they were probably 30 stages, but there were five really main stages. Right? There's so many about power also, but the stages are that at first they are given serene sin, Lamana Sovisilosam. Serenissim, and then they got Habulas Torah, they didn't before it. Then by Maruas Chayehem, then some kind of secretive genocide involving the boys, including the wives, and then we're talking genocide here. Right? So five stages leading into the Shibud, and five stages going out. Okay, that's the Torah's meaning. Objection to the word shamos, right? Okay, but look through these sources at, and it's very interesting what emerges from these sources about the more than three here, but that's one that's the most famous one. Why do we have four cups? Because there are four words in Sefer in Parshas Vayera. But you'll see some very interesting aspects of other sources where the word either kos appears four times or some other word that some other reference that gets you to number four. All right, it's all over here, so just look it up. It's an easy question. All right, that's Exhibit A. Exhibit B is explain the discrepancy of 210, 400, and 430 according to Chazal and Shaddal. All right, the 210 and 400 is no big deal. 210 is from the time they arrived in Egypt, but 400 is from the birth of Yitzchak. Familiar with that? Right. The more challenging contradiction. Is that in Bo, it says, Moshav ben Yisrael, Ashiv Yishuv Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana, Ba'ava Me'el Shana. Bahimi Kei, Shloshim Shana, Ba'ava Me'el Shana, Yitzu Kol Tzivos Yisrael, Me'el Yisrael. What's going on here? Hashem predicted 400 years now. What did this 430 come? Right? All right, so this is my Mechazal. Extra 30 years, yes? From this time. Sorry. Okay. 400 years starts from Geri Yitzharach, your birth when your descendants are born. So from Yitzchak's birth, that would be this leads on to all kinds of problems. One, that means that Abraham was 70 in Brisin Ben Absarim, right? Because he was 100 when Yitzchak was born. Okay, big deal. But he was 75 when he got to Israel in the first place. Okay, he was 70 when he came the first time. Right? Because after all, Parshas Noach does describe a trip to Israel with Terach. Yeah? The Testament actually has makes a big deal about Avraham going to Israel twice. Yeah, it doesn't say what
he
went with. Alright, well, that can still fit in. So Tyson is the first parent of Shabbos and Brachos that tries to fit this in. The problem is that chapter 15 begins. And there are Rambam and Chazal that try to connect Abraham protecting Lot with Hashem telling Abraham, I'm going to protect you. You protect others, I'll protect you. Beautiful. But how does that work? If he's 70 in chapter 15 and 75 in chapter 12 and certainly older than that in chapter 14. Right? That's a hard question. Alright, I might answer. You see, if it's said by He Acharat Brim Ha'ela, that would be a game breaker. It's Acharat Brim Ha'ela Hayod Var Hashem Al Avraham, which could mean I'm writing about this after the previous thing, but this had happened. Something Rashi does all over gracious. Remember, what does Rashi say? Vashem Pokadis Var Hashem Amar, not by Yifkod Hashem Sarah, because that would mean that Sarah became pregnant after she spent time with Abimelech. This baby's father is Abraham, not Abimelech. Hashem Pokad is Sarah. She had already been visited and impregnated before she went to Abimelech. Right? Or, V'ha'adom yodah eschava ishta. Remember what Rashi writes? Not like the Christians say that he could only know her after the sin. V'ha'adom yodah, not by yedah ha'adom. V'ha'adom yodah eschava ishta means she had already been pregnant, they had already been knowing each other before the state of Gan Eden. Okay. There was a big polemic with Christians in the Middle Ages. Okay, so, alright, fine. This 210, the 400 and 430, okay, it works its way out. Chazal even say that the Shevet Ephraim, remember we talked about that? Talked about the three oaths, Shevet Ephraim went 30 years early. Yep.
I don't remember.
The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Shevet Ephraim thought that the Shibud was over 30 years earlier than it was supposed to be, and they were killed off by the Philistines. Actually, it references all over the page. Tehillim, Tehillim, Torah a few times. So it was a cheshbon, and people weren't sure of when it was. Okay, Shadal, however, and that's exhibit B, has an ingenious appearance to it. But it's not originally part of a cheshbon of how long they spent in Egypt. Because it appears in this paper it's trying to explain how Levi has three sons, right? Gershom, Kehas, and Merari, right? Right? Kehas has a son named Amram, and Amram has a son named Moshe, right? And it lists their children, right? Kehas has four children altogether. I mean, you know, in Parashat Va'era, it lists their children. Alright, maybe Va'era doesn't list all of them, but how do you constitute 22,300 at this time? Where do they get all these people? Right? So Shadal suggests that in these generations, they had their children at 30, 40, or even younger. Like today. But it gives ages. It gives one at 137, another at 137, another at 133. Those are the ages of Levi, Kehas, and Amram. There you go, 400. Okay? Right? And he says that this may be the amount of years they lived, but as long as they were alive, the clans went by their name. Of course, Levi is the main one, but they by the time Kehas died, he might have had hundreds upon hundreds, even thousands of descendants. Right? But it doesn't list all his generations until he goes. Right? There are three or four or five generations in between each one.
I think I asked this then, but I'm still not positive. So yeah. Does that mean that like Kehas, he lived for more than 137
years?
No. He could have been the head while Levi was the head.
Right, so he wasn't the head for that full 137 years, because there's some overlap to be sure. Right? Or it could very well be that Kehas never knew Levi. And Kehas is Levi's great 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 grandson.
Right.
Okay. I think that's how I would read Shadal. So this actually, I must tell you, just personally, my mother has a sister with close to 700 descendants.
Well,
no joke. She has 13 kids, each one of them are grandparents of 70, 80. I'm telling you, they're all, each one of her 13 kids has 10, 11, 12 kids. And they all have kids. Alright? So that's very cool, that's very nice, but you know, I'm not saying everyone is like this, but there was a little article in the paper. I mean, Aunt Beatrice, if those numbers are exaggerated, I'm okay. But I think they're about right. I mean, she's got you know, and they have these family gatherings, and you know, some in Israel, most are in Lakewood now. But I'm sure she has track. But you can get those kind of numbers, all right? Especially with the Torah itself says the Yas will be the mold of. Okay, so you can get those numbers, and then you can make up the number 22,000 of those years. Alright? His chiddush is that let me tell you how I get to 430. Alright? How did this become 430? That should become 400. So he says, wait a second. They didn't start those numbers until they were in Egypt for how long? Well, that would be nice if it was, but it is 17 years. Because Yaakov was 130 when he came, and he was 147 when he died. So we're not going to start to count Levi until Yaakov is dead. Right? This, I don't think Shadal is telling us that Yaakov didn't know Levi, but the years aren't written this way until Yaakov dies. The patriarch dies. amount of time we actually spent in Egypt, and the Torah just wrote it as 430.
Wow. Why the Torah just wrote it as
430? This, in my Haggadah, this is the answer I give to the Rosh. What paragraph of the Haggadah is interested in this? On the Baruch Shomer Haftachasa.
So why is it right as the word for the same here? Go ahead.
There are a number of differences. There are two really glaring differences. by the names of the children and by the Chacham's question.
So the Chacham
makes startling.
The part of the Gemara this is referring to is it's like an actual part where it's Vayomer and Chacham and Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yerushalmi changes the nusach of the Chacham's question. Yerushalmi said to the Korban Aida, on the show, just how smart this kid is. Look how smart he is. He knew on his own to change the word Eschem to Osan. Right? I don't know if I mentioned it at the time that went over that, but that in the Septuagint, now we're mentioning this book twice today, in the Septuagint, the word does appear as a son. Right? It's an interesting observation is that the Septuagint in the form, you know, whatever form, obviously been in Christian hands over the ages, but the Septuagint in changing Eschem to Osanu, do tell me if you agree with the assessment I'm about to make, must be aware of the text of the Haggadah. There's no reason to change Eschem to Osanu from the Masoretic text. I'm not going to just say, oh, the Septuagint had a different version. No, the Septuagint was well aware that it's Eschem. Just didn't like Eschem because it didn't like Lochem. Right? Following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Yerushalmi, certainly I'm not going to go along with it that Yerushalmi had an alternate Masorah. No, the Yerushalmi knows it's a step, but it's that also doesn't like a step. He says, I can use whatever I want. I'm not giving all these kids the answers the Torah gives them. Why should I write down their question exactly as it appears? Okay. Yesterday I attended this dinner in honor of someone who donates money to education. So he read for Jonathan Sachs, he has a Haggadah, just came out with Haggadah, and he interprets Ma'avada Hazos Lochem as a very thoughtful question asked by an adult child who is sitting at his parents' seder, and he says, Mom and Dad, you gave me a Hebrew school education. And I did all the readings, and I worked hard, and I tried to succeed, like I succeeded in everything, like you taught me to succeed in everything else. But you gave me so many mixed messages. If I came home with a bad grade in science or in math, you scolded me. But you didn't care to an iota if I did poorly in Hebrew school. Right? You told me it's important to observe the holidays and to hear Kiddush on Shabbos, but we didn't do anything else that made Shabbos a special day. Ma'ava da hazos lochem. What does the avodah you tried to teach me, going to Hebrew school twice a week, what does it mean to you that you expect it to mean anything to me? Thoughtful question. Yeah, we have a saying, but what does all this mean to you? Right? As you may be, you know, like straddling and becoming a balshuva or becoming a from. The parents of that ilk were very much against their children becoming more religious because that would mean that they would have to change some of their own lifestyle that they'd got very comfortable with. Right here? Okay, so if you recall, I really ripped apart those four words. Not just lochem. Yeah, it's avod, it looks like it's just work, but hazos. In other words, I agree that the redemption from Egypt should be commemorated. But you're doing it in such an antiquated way. Oh, please, what's this with this way we're eating, all these rituals? This is not the way to do it. Right? Mahava, get it? Mahava dozos lochem. Mahava hazos. Okay? All right, so this is what we do with that. Okay. And it's finally Exhibit E, answered all circled entries, and that would do it. Okay, let's finish off what we started last class, please, and which is this. should be on page 78. I'm sorry, that's 76. No. Yes, 78. Horartum is Fakot, Alob, Benedev, Shnaslaya. You woke up your everlastingness. Benedev, Neded, Shnaslaya. Lashon in the Gilas Esther, Nadidosh Nasamelech, right? Leilah Ha'afu Nadidosh Nasamelech. So that's clearly what he's referring to, right? You got it? You caused it to wake up. Pura Tidroch L'Shomer Mami Leilah. This is a... What is a pura? You can trample the wine press. We give this a very, very, very violent line to avoid saying Anas Miros. Tzach ve'adom, l'usho adom, pura bedorcha v'bom e'adom. It's a prophecy in Yeshayahu about God's, the hem of God's robe becoming wet, red with the blood of the skulls and heads of Edom that are being trampled afoot. Right? Here it's like a wine press. It's not grapes that are trampling on, it's heads. Right? But what's this L'Shomer Mami Laila? That's another of the ones every Yeshayahu, chapter 23, where he says, Shomer Mami Laila, Shomer Mami Leo. Watchman, what of the night? What of the night? Amar HaShomer, Ki Osa Boker V'Gam Laila, it's basically someone asking the watchman, why is the night taking so long to turn it on? In other words, why is the galus so long? Man shana halayla has every call of those. Why is this galus so much longer than the other galus? Right? So Rav Kashomer saw us aboke began laila. See what's happening here? Look, he was struck with levet sad. I wouldn't have used a word like Sarah here, but he is clearly referring to the answer. This tzaddik is right on the heels of the pen. Remember I just read to you the prophecy? Amar HaShomer Ki Osa Boker Begam Laila. He's using the word Osa Boker. See, why is he moving into Aramaic? Osa means Yavo HaBoker. Why is he using Aramaic? Because Yeshayahu uses Aramaic. He wanted this reader to recognize this. Okay, you see it? So the morning shall certainly come. Kore yom asher hu lo yom v'lo laila. Rav hoda ki l'cha hayom af l'cha halayla. Shomer hafki et irva kol yom l'cha halayla. To ir ki or yom teshkaz laila v'chatzi laila. It's very famous too, this, to this.
So,
how does this poem ending? So he's talking about another prophecy of Yeshayahu, about a time where it would not be day or night. Some kind of the aura of Sheshus Megracious, if you will. And while this may sound very Kabbalistic and very Midrashic, but it's really what he says. And especially, you know what we say liturgically in the Kiddush Levana. At the end of Kiddush Levana, look at the moon and we say, there will be a time where the moonlight will be like the sunlight, right? And the sun will be like the time of the Sheshes Megracious. Because you don't have to be a darshan to know that creation comes in like pairs, right? Or is one. Right? Then there's Mayim, and then there's vegetation. Day three. Right? So look at that. Day four is the things that give the light. Day five are animals that come out of Mayim. Day six are animals and human beings that come out of the earth. Right? You see? So you can see that if there's an or, but what's giving that or before day four? So that's the order this part kind of goes in. Ashehu lo yom v'lo lila. Get it? So ir kior yom cheshkas lila. Let the choshech of lila, which is now a very dark time, let it shine like the original light. Right? And that's Eid Chatzila. Now let's move to the next one, which is poem also alphabetical. You see it? Right?
Okay, remember?
The very next poem, page 80.
Yeah.
So these are events before they're not events not necessarily that took place on Pesach, but events that took place at night. This poem are not dafka during the night, but they took place on Pesach. Right? In Israel, do they just say both of these on the first? I mean, what? You never had Seder in Pesach? In
Israel? You have?
Yeah, when the year I was in Israel.
And then the second night, you have to observe the second Seder, right?
There are different piskei halacha depending on whether you intend to stay, whether you may stay, you know, the different piskei halacha.
So what'd you do?
Depends on, I mean, if the guys who thought they'd stay, they were told to keep one day.
Stay permanently, or?
Yeah, they'd stay. The second year, maybe we'll stay up. Even maybe we'll stay up.
But knowing that you're going to go home, you have to observe too.
I don't know if you didn't know.
What'd you do?
Some guys didn't. I'm looking back because I always tell people that halachas definitely have to keep 2 days. All my kids kept 2 days. And I kept 1 day. I went to my Rebbe. I went to my Rebbe for Pesach in Beit El, which was just being built at the time. And he said, go home. You said, you're one of my most Zionistic students. I feel you're going to stay here. You're going to...
So why did you come back?
I ended up coming back, but okay, you know, it's what it is. You know. Wouldn't work well with this girl I was seeing, who's now my wife.
So was your wife here better?
No, I mean, maybe if I could have convinced her to come to, you know, just to go to Israel, we would have stayed there.
Did she also go to CERN? You met her at CERN?
I met before that. We knew each other before college. So that's what it was. But you know, I remember I had Pesach at my Rebbe, and he said afterwards, go home. It's time to go home. You should go home. Go back to Yeshiva. Well, I mean, he probably wasn't prepared to give me another.
Where did you learn next?
BMT, which is now Torah Shred. All right. So anyway, let's go on. V'chein b'amartim zevach Pesach. That's why we're so good at the Seder. We've read so many. I've been to 100 Siddurim. I remember 100 Siddurim. Who gets to have 100 Siddurim in Israel? Okay, v'chein b'amartim zevach Pesach. Ometz v'urov secha ifleisa b'pesach. V'rosh kol mo'ados niseisa Pesach. Alright, so the opening two lines are not necessarily any historical events that took place in Pesach, except the original Pesach. In other words, I'm giving you an introduction to this song, that Pesach was made great because of the events of Shmos, Sefer Shmos. But, let me let you know something. Gili Selezrachi Chatzos Leil Pesach. God revealed himself to Abraham. Now, where was that? Gili Selezrachi. Ezrachi, you see how it translates Ezrachi, the Oriental one. Ezrach, like Mizrach. And this is also pinned on. There's a guy named Malachim called Eitan HaEzrachi. It says Shlomo was even wiser than Eitan HaEzrachi. And the Gemara Baba Basra says that that's Abraham. So that's why this poem, you know, the poem is that anything's on the table for a poem, right? Why does he refer to him here as Ezrachi? I don't know. I mean, he's not going to say Gili Sela Avraham. That's the nature of these poems, right? Call him, you revealed yourself to the beloved one. You know, what's Avraham known as in Chazal? Protected one. Gili Sela Ezrachi Chatzos Leil. So when did Hashem reveal himself? He visaba ezrochi chatzos leo. Amartum zevach pesach. So, I don't have too many beforshim to this passage, but if I were to ask what this means, I think it refers to a Maimar Chazal where God told Avraham already in advance what this night would be. And in addition, there are other things with Avraham. Let's see as we go on. Losov de facto kichom hayom a Pesach. Okay, what happens kichom hayom in Avraham's life? Okay, that's good. It says it's my mazeh to the heat of the day. I think it's more referring to Parshas Vayera, where it says we have shaped Pesach oel kichom hayom.
Yeah, that's referring.
Oh, I thought you meant that he gave himself a bris.
No, not the bris itself, but after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's waiting in front of his tent. Okay, so God knocked on his door in the form of these three angels. That's their Rashbam's Perush, but of course, it wasn't very popular amongst the Ashkenazim to refer to God doing anything in the number three. Right? But to say that
is that why?
By Royal of Hashem.
Is that why you think this Maya was
a Maya? Oh, that's Christians claim that the whole big Trinity thing there.
No, but is that why you think that this Maya was
may be pure parshanut, but it really resolves so many of the issues of who is he talking to, Adonai, Lamotzos Chimenecha, is he going to plural, or to singular? If you're saying that God, Vayiroi Lo Hashem, how? In the form of these three men, it really solves all the different questions, Rashi. It's just that this ingenious Perush, which Rishpam says all over the Perush, all over the Torah, it was an angel looking out at Moshe. It was an angel that told Yitzchak, "Ki ato yodati ki re'elu kim ato, v'lo chasachtus bin chasichit chamimeni." Even though the pasuk begins with "Malach Hashem Avraham," right? "Ki surisim elokim ben neshim batuchal." Even though he fought with the type of God, he fought with an angel. So, angel is God. Fine.
Do you think that the Rishonim in general have more of a hard time, accepting or explaining things as angels are being informed by Christianity or being informed by other religions at the time, or do you think that that's simply what they view?
Yeah, it's hard to determine. There's enough on both sides, but I think what the Rambam says that if a human being is together with an angel in any story of Tanakh,
that it's a dream.
Has to be a dream. You can't see God, you can't see an angel.
But is that Rambam? Things like that Rambam, they meant the Rambam in the Sphinx, or didn't necessarily have as much. He was more in the line of Muslim thinking, or
yeah.
I guess defending from that angle of Christianity. So are things like that meant to be viewed in light of Christianity or other religions? Or is that simply what he thought shot?
It's hard to determine. It's more fantastic to attribute it to the but anything that involves God taking on some kind of physical form, i.e. angel, and from number three, is something the Jewish commentaries tended to avoid. Okay, so he says, his id notzitzim ugos matzos ba-pesach. You see it, he gave sikva. Notzitzim would be the sparks, the angels. Ugos matzos, so I think that's what he told people. Moshe ugos. Matzos, it says that Lot gave matzos.
Yeah.
But this is just our commentary that says, well, since it was Pesach, it must have been matzos.
Right.
But I think we're still talking about Aaron. Now, when Lot gives matzos, I would just say there are two places in Tanakh where someone feeds someone matzos instead of bread. Lot, to the angels, the two angels that come, and Bekir's question, the witch who was asked by Shaul to call back the dead, matzos. She makes matzos and gives him dafka matzos, it says.
But they just a poor person?
Either that, or they were both in a hurry. He was in a hurry, just quickly, I got to speak to Shmuel and move right on. And Lot was in Stam also, so that's probably what's going on there. Ve'alabakor rots zeichel l'shor erech Pesach. So okay, the whole thing is Avraham. He ran to the Bakor, zeichel l'shor erech Pesach. So because of the shore that he set up, now, Pesach is not a shor. Pesach is a song. No, but there, no question that he gave him El HaBakar with Zabram, right? Now, it says in Devarim, Basis of Pesach Hashem Son Bakar, and the Chazal have various ways to deal with that. Okay. Zoamu Sidomim Velo Hatu Ba'ish Pesach. Of course, it's the same day. And Lot is also keeping Pesach, of course. And then we gave, I don't know if he gave them Moror and Karpas and Charoses, but he did give them Matzos. Chulatz Lot Mehem, whom, of course, Matzos Afa Bekates Pesach. Okay? Oh, there's no stomach there. Fool me. Titesa Agmas Mof Venov Ba'ovrucha Ba'Pesach. Okay, this is a tight one here. Titesa, it's a Loshon and Sefer Yishayahu, which means to sweep up. Remember Gemara, a few different places, Rosh Hashanah, etc., where we find a very difficult word in the Tanakh and we don't know what it means until Rebbe's maid used the word. This is one of them. I didn't know what Titesa means until she used the word. Right? He mocked up. Mof and Nof, what's that? Those are two cities in Egypt. Mof is Memphis. Nof is used by a Nof, Tachpan Ches, Yirmiyahu uses. These are two cities in Egypt. Mof and Nof.
The time you said I was around, right? Memphis is still existing.
Yeah, yeah.
There was Nof still around?
Nof, I'm not sure what they say. There's a few different opinions with Nof is. I'm not sure. But certainly it's quoted better than me. Yom Rishon kol on machatzta b'lel shimut Pesach. On, like gracious Omno, who killed the Bechoros. Kabir al-Veit Bechor Pesach Tebet on Pesach. Pesam Ches is a verb, it's not an easy word. The Vilti Teis Mashchis Lavo B'Pesachai B'Pesach Manuzeve. And you didn't let the Mashchis, which is even the Chiddush was, that you didn't even let the regular angel of death enter our homes. Because God is the one in the Haggad keeps saying, Hanibu L'Malach, Hanibu L'Sarach, Hanibu L'Sarach, who's the Mashchis? God is the Mashchis. Misugera Sugara, the next one, talks about the conquest of Yericho, which was indeed, it says they crossed the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. Right? Odayom Benov, that's the Haftar of the last day of Pesach, that's the arrival of Mashiach, right? And Golkin Sahadas at Tzom Neshalesh. It's interesting because Odayom Benov should be Mashiach, and I would have switched the last two. This last one is talking about, of course, Esther. It says they fasted around Pesach time, right? So by Yavor Mordechai. Okay, that closes our discussion with your Moshe Mashiach, Lashon Abba, Yerushalayim Abnuya, and.